Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and remind me never to vacation in Spamtopia ever again. Ugh, the horrors. And with me, I have...
The U.S. government to Adobe abridged. Get fucked, bitch!
And...
Hark! I hear a sound. Oh no! I just sent off some YouTube cryptids. Might be that the careers are being shambles. So one thing that happened.
Yeah. In other words, Tuesday.
Good thing too. It's all these people up. All these fucking people ass in. It's like so and so failed. Look at this angry face. Look at what we do. What we typed in there and just laugh for a couple hours because. We have no lives. Didn't get no bitches.
Maidenless.
It is a sad, pathetic existence when people go, this movie failed. It was supposed to make $70 million and only made $68 million. Like, it's just so exhausting. How do any of these people actually live? Are we sure they're not just machine learning bots of some kind?
Are they AI?
I don't know. What isn't AI these days? I mean, there's got to be some stuff that isn't AI. Like those photos that I see on Facebook that's like a beautiful woman that's like two torsos and four sets of titties. God, the sex bots are getting weirder and weirder. This is nothing like what I was promised in Futurama. This blows.
Remember the ultimate lesson from Futurama? Don't date robots!
Anyway, here we are, episode 355. How's everyone doing?
Busy. Busy, busy, busy. It has been a very busy and exhausting week for me. So much so that, as of Monday, I have not edited my other show yet. And I have to finish that really soon, so... That's going to be fun to put together. Probably going to have to be up until fucking 2:30 in the morning just to finish it properly. Business is hectic right now. It's a lot of wheels are in motion. A lot of things are going on. I'm very busy and I'm very tired. I will be very glad to have... Well, I'm mostly just looking forward to the holiday weekend in a couple weeks just to have some semblance of... A slow couple days for once.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeep. Yeah, it's been very busy for me for the last little while.
Okay, hopefully you'll be able to catch up on all that and then relax.
I hope so too.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, I was supposed to have a whole weekend of relaxing, at least a whole three day of relaxing. To find out, someone from my job, they moved. That's what I'm going by. They moved. And that means I'm about to work that day. Well, not today, because I had a doctor appointment. And then tomorrow, I only have one day off, and the day off I got was just to go to a doctor appointment. Yeah, it's peachy.
Damn.
On one hand, it's the whole thing. Well, Mark, you could use the money. You know that, right? Yes, I know. A version of me over my shoulder.
I get that feeling. I didn't get home on Sunday until after 5 p.m.
Yeep.
Yeah, not fun.
Yikes. Anyway. As for me, not much of anything, other than just watching some TV and playing a whole lot of Dragon Quest XI. Silvando, I swear to God, Silvando. Happy Pride Month, everyone. But that's neither here nor there. I don't really have anything much else to add, so I suppose we should probably get into the nitty-gritty as usual. We're starting off with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all of that jazz. So let's start right here at the top. Oh, hey, Wiki and Tony Seltzer. Didn't they have something out last year already?
Yeah, they did. So did Mike and Tony Seltzer. And so did Mike and Wiki. They all did something last year.
Oh.
Even some this year. But the summer, so, you know, it was Wiki and Tony having a one-off single, which is titled No Ale. I will say that getting some weird stuff as in, what the hell is this kid singing? Okay, it's a, I know it's like something from my old TV show, because it, you know, some weird kid singing, the barber ups the bill, and they all boot his ass, or their ass, I don't know. And of course, and it goes to Wiki, you know, states, I take no L's, you know, he's rapping on about that shit, which, I'll say the beat sounds nice. If Wiki's rapping, all right, then, I mean, basically what I heard from, basically, that different before, but, okay. I thought that was okay. It's a good single. It's a good one-off track. I don't know if they could do something else in the name. I don't know, like, okay.
I don't really have anything much to add, so let's move on to the next track here, which is, oh hey, Boldy James the Clock, again! And with Conductor Williams! Again, I lose track of who's collaborated with who at this point and how many times.
The answer is yes.
Okay, let's see some of those two, so I wonder, what would they two do there? Are they doing the collab album? Yes, they are doing the collab album. Because why the fuck that boy James always does, like, collabs with, you know, basically rapper, producer, rap, like, you know, cross tracks, the album coming out, I don't know. Might be soon, I don't know. Maybe go like the touch is funny, like, the drum is called Terms and Conditions. Yeah, you know, a thing that you post. Supposed to read whatever you sign a thing, but you really don't, just skim through the shit. Yeah,
I've never read those a day in my life. I'm totally sure nothing bad will happen to me in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. So you got the usual things. You know, conduct. We have a problem on that shit, and of course, you know, the whole thing of Boy James Mafia. What else? 227. Like, you know, the basic shit he always says it, you know, on track. And of course, you know, Boldy James is, you know, there's this thing, you know, it's about, you know, basically the drug game and shit, or, you know, storytelling shit. It's basically like what, the stuff like, you know, the first brick I ever touched was the worst brick, or shoot the plug hand with a firm grip, knew I wanted to be the man when I turned 6, been having murder in my mind since they murk Rick. It seems like basically, you know, his bread and butter. And of course, even Conductor Williams is, you know, is always good in here. But yeah, just be a good track, not a good track for me from him. And I guess it's going to be his second album, considering he always puts up book of projects in the year because he got time. I don't know, yeah, but yeah, it should be good whenever it comes out.
Fingers crossed. Now moving on to the next track here, we have yet another track from Lewis Cole from the album Nothing, coming out August 9th. The song is titled These Dreams Are Killing Me, which, you wouldn't know it from listening to the instrumentation itself. The tempo on this one, it rides a very steady 6-8 groove, with a lot of the melodic aspects mainly being driven by the string section and the really great vocal choir. So it just kind of rides that pretty consistently, and we even get some pretty slick guitar soloing, courtesy of a Mr. Pedro Martins. I don't have much else to add, but the vibes on here are immaculate.
Yeah, man. So these tracks are just immaculate. They are just, they are just fucking perfection. Like hearing this shit remind me of here's something you would hear out of a video game score or RPG video game score. This shit just hits like that.
Yes, it certainly does. And speaking of video games,
who looks more Action Bronson? And we actually got a continuation from that movie, from that video, which, all right, nice. So that's a quick review album, which again titled Johann Sebastian Bach the Ball the Doctor, which. Of course, ain't got the release date yet, but we do got a second single out, one produced by, oh look at the time,
The Alchemist O'Clock.
Yes, and the track as he's into games is called Sega.
Get it?
It's a very quick ass song. I'm saying this again. It is the length of an anime opening, sort of, with a little bit more. But it's like, yeah, after basically this thing with this one verse, bunch of shit just spitting out. Let's see, golden hoop with the motherfucking lightning bolt. Dangle, cooked up, moves up on top of the boat. Kurt Angle, show the motherfucker war show. No doors on the Wrangler. Things like, when I wake up, I hear Sega. And of course, about the video. Well, he escaped. He's hiding out. So I don't know who he is. He's getting choked out or some shit. I don't know. There's a bunch of shit happens. He's either playing Sega, or he's running off, or. And of course, another to be continued. Yeah, that happened.
Man, this video just kind of makes me want to see if I still have my Wii somewhere that I'm pretty sure I have Altered Beast downloaded on. from your grave.
Yeah, funny how all that works. I just got a couple games today while I was out. Got myself Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for Xbox 360 because it was cheap. And yeah. All for all that Sega goodness. And to borrow from Brody from the acclaimed film Mallrats, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned for Sega.
One of these days I'll watch that movie.
You should. It is the best Easter movie ever made.
All words. But now moving on to the next track here. So, this is a new project, the latest to come out of the camp of System of a Down spin-off acts and projects, because Lord knows they can't get their own shit together for long enough. This time we have a band called 7 Hours After Violet. This is the brainchild of bassist Shavo Odadajan. Alongside him in the lineup are singer Taylor Barber from the band Left to Suffer, as well as Morgoth and Josh Johnson on guitar and drums, respectively. They come from the band Winds of Plague. And we also have singer/guitarist Alejandro Aranda, who goes by the stage name Scary Pool Party and was apparently the runner-up on season 17 of American Idol? Okay, then.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got these several people in a room together. We have this lead-off single, well, this debut single period called Paradise, and you might be wondering how this all fits together in practice. I mean, we have an American Idol runner-up, we have, 2000s nu metal, as well as, 2000s deathcore elements, as far as, the basic building blocks, but I feel like this song isn't necessarily the best foot forward. Listening to the song, there's a few decent ideas here. I will give it credit. That central riff is pretty solidly catchy and a decent start to build the rest of the song around, but there's just something off to me about a lot of the production choices here. The drums sound weirdly flat and don't hit as hard as they probably should, especially since you could tell there's supposed to be some of that, you know, Winds of Plague deathcore influence there. The bass tones, at the very least, are all right. I mean, I would hope so. It's Shavo's band. But the actual guitars themselves are kind of paper thin when you hear, like, how they're supposed to be propping up the groove and the mix and everything. And I don't know. Something here just feels off. And the main heavy parts are very repetitive. The melodic sections in there just kind of seem like a weird afterthought. And give the song a really weird sense of momentum, especially since it seems like the track actually just kind of stops rather than properly finishes. I don't know. I feel like you needed to give this one more time in the oven, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay, when I talk about how a lot of modern metal sounds kind of similar, this might be what I'm referring to, especially with the guitar tones and the drums sounding kind of flat and cushiony in a way. A lot of this feels very System meets Hatebreed, kind of. But then you get the rabid, wild death growl section, which doesn't really fit either. But for what it's worth, it's heavy in all the right places to sort of serve as an opening statement. It's a solid enough first taste of what can come. I'll save further judgment for a second single.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's pretty much all I can say as well. Just leave it there. Now, let's move on to this next track here. So, we've been hearing a lot more in recent years about the singer Victoria Monet. Now, for a bit of context, as a reminder, she's been around in the industry since the early 2010s, spent a lot of time cutting her teeth as a pop songwriter for the likes of Chris Brown and Fifth Harmony, but of course her biggest strides in the industry were as a frequent collaborator of Ariana Grande. And then, you know, she finally released her debut solo album last year, and that was making quite a few waves. Still haven't listened to it yet. So, this would probably be, as far as my knowledge, the first time we actually properly talk about Victoria Monet directly on the podcast, but it's not necessarily a single from one of her albums. See, what we have here is a song called Power of Two, which was used as an end credits theme for an episode of the Disney Plus series The Acolyte. Get the fuck out of my mentions, you goddamn Star Wars dweebs.
I should have shown this kid nothing but love and no bullshit whatsoever.
Y'all are bitching about a franchise that talks about weirdo alien creatures, shiny swords with lasers, and fucking Muppets. Chill the fuck out.
You are, to all the stupid grifters online, go the fuck away. Go outside and touch grass. Or, I don't know, become subjected to instrumentality or something. Just turn into Orange Tang and leave us all alone.
And also, yeah, you don't like women. Or y'all just love to bitch about women, because that's all the fuck you ever do. Because you have women, women are ruining Star Wars, how dare they? Like, oh boy.
The community notes are gonna come for y'all, be ready.
How can you expect to find the clitoris when you can't even find Coruscant on a map? Anyway,
the actual song about itself,
I mean, production-wise, it is definitely one of the end credits themes of all time. Like, it pretty much sounds exactly like, oh, okay, pop R&B singer doing end credits for a TV show. I mean, you know, the synth melodies are very nice-sounding, the production is, you know, it's pleasing on the ears, it's nice, it's not anything that rocks the boat too much. Monet's vocals sound pretty alright on this, but again, you could definitely feel like this is just like, we needed music for the names to roll past. It's not anything that's going to set the world on fire or anything.
Yeah. Also, funny to mention the producers of this, one of them being DeMille, and the other being Michael Abels. You're wondering, that sounds familiar. He worked all of, on some one guy. I don't know his name, Jordan Peele.
Oh.
Yeah, he just scored for all his movies. Get Out, Us. Yeah, that guy. And, okay, like, I'll say and credits being like, once it's like, oh, okay, it sounds all right. And, like, okay, I'll start, maybe I liked it a bit more during some re-listens, but, like, Yeah, man, his interest, I mean, Victoria sounds great, and really, the music sounds good, and like, eh, all right, it's all right, I'll give it, all right, it's all right to me.
Yeah, not really much else to add there, so let's move on to this next track here. So, LL Cool J, a name that we haven't really talked about much on this podcast, because we haven't had much of a reason to, because he hasn't dropped a new album since at least 2013, hasn't dropped a new song in general since like 8 years ago. For the most part, he's been keeping himself busy doing stuff like NCIS. Wait, NCIS?
Yeah, that show is still on the air.
Yeah, big one of the spinoffs.
He's been doing NCIS since 2009. NCIS LA, apparently. And apparently he also has like a recurring guest spot on the Hawaii NCIS spinoff.
Yeah, listen. Old people love that show. It's why it's been on the air for like 21 years.
So here's my question, though.
Yeah.
If we take LL Cool J's character from NCIS and put him in a cage fight with Ice-T's character from CSI, or is it Law and Order? I don't know. I think it's CSI.
SPU. Law and Order. Law and Order.
Fuck, Law and Order. Who wins?
Mariska Hargitay.
I'll take it. So, yeah, we have, apparently, now he's preparing a new album, again, his first in like 11 years, titled The Force, which is an acronym for Frequencies of Real Creative Energy. Feels like a stretch. It's kind of like when 2 Chainz released an album called True Religion. The Real University Religion. I don't know, that's just me. And we have a single here called Saturday Night Special, which features guest appearances by Q-Tip, Rick Ross, and Fat Joe? Huh.
Who is not so fat nowadays?
Huh.
I mean, neither's Rick Ross, sort of, ain't he's, I mean, he, well, he ain't what he used to be, but yeah, well, you know, size-wise, but yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. And I will say, for the song and all, yes, it reminds me of those late 90s, early 2000s videos, or these songs, there's a background, it's all white background, he's got the one car, he's got them standing around, all in black and white, and basically, I don't want to say it sounds like old head talk. I mean, at least in LL Cool J's verse, it's basically saying something to hustles. You mean the gang shit's cold, don't you trust in, or nobody trusts in, they say the beauty killer, you want to fuck holes and get the money, but basically, maybe not old head talk, but more like, I guess shit he know, even though he's like, what, 50, like 50-something years old, but sometimes rappers in the game, rather than 50s, well, some age like Fine Wine, and sticks around this rapper they do today. But I will say, Ella's verse, I mean, it ain't too bad. And I know you mentioned Q-Tip. I mean, he is more of a producer here, and I think he just does the chorus. He's the chorus, or I mean, these things, because I don't see him in the video nowhere. And the Corvain, and of course, got Rick Ross, which, I mean, Rick Ross is Rick Ross. Like, Rick Ross, although I haven't heard, like, one thing I know about his verse, I haven't heard the Maybach Music tagline in there for some reason, because that's old, because that always happened. Of course, you have luxurious shit too, like, you know, like Corvette Club, Maybach flags, all that, throw that shit in, you know, really on the wrist, quick, skip a battle rap. Okay, and of course you got Fat Joe's verse, which, okay, it's good, it's fine. It's to say, like, again, I say, if you're somebody who, that's, you know, was really nostalgic for the 2000s era of rap, at least when LL Cool J, at least around that time when he was doing shit like Headstrong, or anywhere around that era of hip hop, around there, like, I mean, you might like it. But I found it to be okay. I found the beat all right. But yeah, it's... I think it's interesting seeing, like... I mean, there's been... I have seen music that's been, like a bunch of them, like, rap rappers from the, 2000s, like, making a comeback, or at least rappers that, that have now gotten older, still thinking that they can, still rap as good as they did back then. And some people them, and some people them, well, we heard talk about how good Method Man was on the previous, on Conway's album. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's all good to me. Yeah.
I don't really have anything to add other than Rick Ross still bores the hell out of me. But let's move on from that to the last song that we have to talk about this week. So, yeah, to touch on a bit of serious stuff for a second, it's now been about 2 years since the unfortunate passing of metal vocalist Trevor Strnad, who, as we all know, cut his teeth as the longtime frontman of the Black Dahlia Murder. The band hasn't stopped musical activity since then. There was a little bit of a shift in lineup where specifically longtime guitarist Brian Eschbach, who's been there since like literally the foundation, has now permanently switched to vocal duties and has pretty much been carrying the group forward for any live commitments and other stuff. And by other stuff, I mean we're now in a position where the band has announced their first new album in 4 years. Yes, the last time we heard new music from the band, there was a plague. That's how long ago this was. So, the new project is called Servitude. It's due out September 27th. And we have the first new single here, Aftermath. So, going into this, I feel, obviously requires a bit of a level-headed approach. Because, like, Trevor Strnad really was, like, a truly, like, one-of-his-kind sort of talent. But you have to be able to meet this song on its level, what's going for. So, for what it's worth, first of all, the instrumentation is as quintessential of the band style as possible. The verses have plenty of rapid-fire blasting in the drums, plenty of intricate fills, the guitars have an aggressive focus on tremolos, noodling interplay, all kinds of hammer-on pull-off type stuff, and of course there's very heavy riffs whenever necessary. There is like a bridge partway through where you do get a bit more of the mellow melodic death aspects. The drums kind of groove along a bit while having, you know, kind of all the technical fills and such. The guitars, you know, play along right as well. And of course, the big question would be, how does Brian fill the shoes of Trevor in the vocal department? Like I said, taking him on his level, as far as his performance, from what it sounds like, it feels like his range sits a bit more kind of in the mid-range tier in comparison to the more deep low or shrieking high extremities that Trevor had. But he's definitely a solid enough and capable vocalist. He does the job pretty well on this, and while, yeah, I'm looking forward to the new album, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's still gonna be some bare minimum level of quality, and I am curious what, like, if anything, the shift in vocalist kind of brings to the bigger picture of things.
Well, speaking as, a casual to the band here, for what it's worth, this is really solid and strong. It's got everything I like in the style of, mellow death, especially the guitar solo section. I'm also curious to hear what's going to come with the rest of the album. Again, I'm a casual to this band. I don't know everything about them, so sign me up for more.
Hear, hear. Alright, that about does it for the new songs. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we have a couple news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, we have two topics here that are both festival lineups, and there's a bit of a shared element here, namely...
May I?
Go ahead.
Graphic design is my passion.
Yeah, so these two posters are definitely in the running for worst designed posters of the year, but for differing reasons. So, first up, we have the lineup for this year's edition of Riot Fest. Taking place, God, what is the date? Yeah, September 20th through the 22nd at SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview, Illinois. And yeah, here it's mainly just whatever this garish color aesthetic is. God, this looks like fucking Lisa Frank advertising at Spencer's. And oh god, I just the visual hierarchy is all the fucking out of whack here. There's just okay. There's not. It's not even like organized by like date or anything. Just I'm just gonna try to dive into this. So let's start from the top. We have Fall Out Boy, Beck, Slayer. And I think it says they're Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But then everything else, I'm not even sure where all this other stuff falls through. So, again, going down the list, there's The Offspring performing Smash, St. Vincent, Rob Zombie, Public Enemy, Bright Eyes, who are shown with a logo that's dice for some reason. Sublime, apparently. Dr. Dog. Isn't
that actual dog?
Ain't that that Disney Channel sitcom? No, wait, that's Dog with a Blog. There's the Marley Brothers performing the music of Bob Marley. There's Spoon, Manchester Orchestra performing Cope. Hey, you know who else performs Cope? Angry Star Wars fanboys. Oliver Tree, Sum 41, Cypress Hill, Waxahachie, Newfound Glory, Something Corporate? I think that's what it is, I guess. And that's another thing here. So, okay, we're at a point where it's kind of going line by line, and the lines themselves alternate by, you know, differing color shades, but the band names themselves do not. And the spacing is not sufficient enough to tell when one artist's name ends and another artist begins, unless you're already familiar with them. Again, graphic design, passion, etc.
We looked and looked and looked. We couldn't find any other actual lineup listing anywhere. What the fuck are y'all doing?
Anyway, Tierra Whack.
Woo.
Taking Back Sunday. God, they're still around.
Mm.
Lamb of God, at least. That's cool. Mastodon performing Leviathan. Excellent. Hot Mulligan. Beach Bunny. The Hives. A band called Suicidal Tendencies.
Wait, I can't believe it.
Thundercat played for them at one point.
Yeah.
LS
Dunes, Basement, State Champs, Poison the Well, nice, Gwar, Clutch, Rival Sons, Health.
Ooh.
Okay, and now we got another weird chunk in there where there's like, it says that all three nights were getting sets by the band NoFX. But then there's also, like, a chunk of bands under them that, like, are they also playing on the same stage? Is this part of a... I guess the theme is these sort of seem like punk bands, so sure. Let's see, there's Descendants, Circle Jerks, Pennywise, The Lawrence Arms, Face to Face, Buzzcocks, Laura Jane Grace with Catbite, The Dillinger Four, Lagwagon, The Vandals, All, Strung Out, Dead Milkmen? Why the Milkmen? What did they do? DOA, The Dickies, Co-Defendants, Cobra Skulls, Swinging Udders, The Defiant, The Exploited, Urethane, Get Dead, and Doom Scroll. Yes, my favorite hobby. Okay, then there's just one last set of bands here. So, okay, so there's Polaris, Cursive, Sincere Engineer, Slaughter Beach, comma, dog? Like, Slaughter Beach, comma, dog? I guess.
Okay, is there a dog in the band?
That's the name of, that is the name of the band.
Sir Chloe, Loveless, The Warning, Tornillo, Souls of Mischief. That sounds vaguely familiar. Couldn't tell you. The Aces, Brutus, Jack Kays, Princess Goes, The Armed, Gel, Drug Church, The Chisel, all right, cool, Tsunami, Necro Goblicon. Yes, their front man dresses like a goblin.
Okay.
Fiddlehead, Pixel Grip, Homefront, Sax Squatch. It's like saxophone Sasquatch. But can he play Careless Whisper? Sweet Pill, Heart Attack Man, and no, not like Heart Attack, comma, Man, just Heart Attack Man, Verboten, Gianni, Spiritual Cramp, Sprints, Winota Fighter, Jiraiya, Lord of the Lost, Games We Play, The Mysterines, Liquid Mike, Action / Adventure, Huge, A Very Reliable Source, Having a Moment, The Friends We Made Along the Way. Okay, you just made those last three up.
Okay. That's freaking that right there, and the and it was just red, like, that's an adventure.
I feel like I'm having a stroke.
Huge. Games you play?
Yeah.
I don't know why that reminds me of that one thing that One Just Play Never used to do with another guy named Joel Ford from Tiger City, or was it more, it was way back, it was formerly, it's not important. But this is another one of, some names in here, that's the ones I recognize.
Yeah, so you can,
it's just that
you can see all these bands performing at unspecified times on one of these 3 days on some part of the stadium ground.
Because you had no effects, because like you, like the way I remember it's like, look, the N of Nuggets is pink, the OF is pink, the X and Sunday is pink, because it's not working. This is clumsy.
This is terrible.
Somebody better throw a tomato at Fat Mike. Ha! Throw it right in his face.
Get wrecked.
He knows what he did.
So now we move on to the other festival lineup here. This one for just about my neck of the woods. So we have the lineup for the 2024 edition of 3 Points in Miami, Florida. And here's the thing about this festival. The visual aesthetic is, well, color-wise, it's just black, white, yellow, some bits of red and blue in there. And it's pretty stock. It's nowhere near as garish as whatever the fuck is going on with the Riot Fest poster. But for some reason, this is all contained around a circle. Like, okay, you have inside the circle with the what I assume is the biggest names here. Then you have two rings around the circle, and honestly, it kind of looks like the Zodiac circle, now that I think about it, with, like, some other names. And then you have all kinds of names around that, not just on the sides, but also rows of names on the bottom. You know what this looks? Okay, again, there's no visual hierarchy here, but also, what this reminds me of is the Papa John's winner's circle. Remember that shit?
Remind of a piece of box of a company that makes man pizza.
Yeah, I mean, they all make man pizza. Let's be real here.
No. Here's my opinions on the pizza. So generally speaking, Domino's I put at the top. Little Caesars, sort of second. It depends when you get it. It's a bit of a crapshoot, but when you get Little Caesars on a good day, absolutely. Pizza Hut, I would put it number three. And down at the bottom is Papa John's, mostly because they do not understand that they put way too much fucking crust in relation to the ratio of cheese and sauce. It's a bread disc served with cheese and sauce. The only reason I put up with that pizza was because of the winner's circles. Let's be for real.
Yeah, this poster is obviously meant to invoke some kind of astrological motif, like with constellations and fake zodiac signs. This just looks stupid. I'm sorry. It looks stupid, and there is no organization here.
In fact, we're specifically reading from a Stereo Gum article about it, and even they say, since the poster is a little hard to read, here's the alphabetized lineup. So, you know what? I'm just gonna read that. So, in alphabetical order, Arca, Artemis, Aurora Halal, Live, I would assume so, Bad Gyal, Bar Italia, Beltran, Ben UFO, Blade, with two E's, Blonde, colon, Ish, okay then, Carlita, Channel 3,
they were familiar with Devon Quixanada's, on their recent album.
Stay tuned.
Which, also look up to Sweat. It's a banger.
And don't forget to read our review at SurrealResolution.com. Plug, plug, plug. So, Chase West, all one word. Clooney.
George.
Disclosure. Disco Lines. DJ Koze. DJ Shadow. Elderbrook. Glass Beams. Heidi Lauden. Horse Girl with two I's and a capital L. Isabella Love Story. ISO XO. Oh, hey, Jacques Green. I haven't thought about you since Dream Corp LLC. Jamie XX. Joe K. Johnny from Space, parentheses live.
So where's Plank at?
Jungle. Justice.
Hey!
Katronata, speaking of.
Hey!
Katama. The closed parentheses thing, B2B skin on skin. Oh wait, brackets, that's the word I was looking for, son of a bitch. Lake Hills, bracket, B2B, True Vine. Leighton Giordani. Mar Daniel, brackets, B2B, D33. Mulgrab. Malone. This is actually the big one that's at direct center of the poster. Massive Attack, playing their first U.S. gig in like 5 years. Mochak. With two K's. Natural Wonder Beauty Concept.
Okay.
Nick Leon and Ezra Miller.
Wait, hold up.
Like, Ezra Miller?
Is this a different guy or the same person?
The one that lost Warner Brothers millions upon millions with The Flash and through a series of extremely strange crimes, both fully confirmed and still... Seriously, did we ever confirm what the fuck was happening with the Icelandic cult thing? I feel like we just skipped over that.
I think this is a different Ezra Miller.
Okay. That's unfortunate.
Apparently, Ezra Miller, the digital artist and designer...
Okay.
You think he has to go around telling people, no, not that Ezra Miller?
Probably.
I guess it's like if somebody's name Chris Brown said, no, not that guy, Oh, not that one, other one either.
Yeah, it's like the Michael Bolton joke. Why should I be the one to change my name? He's the one who sucks. I need to watch Office Space some one of these days.
Yeah, I do too. Anyway, moving on. There's the Pachanga Boys. Parliament Funkadelic featuring George Clinton.
Oh, nice.
PAWSA, PAWSA. Mm. Pink Pantheress.
That I heard from her, also Kiana's album.
Player Dave. Pretty Girl. Ranger Truco. Rez with two Z's. Rick Ross. Salute. Sammy Virgi. Sarah Landry. Sega Bodega.
Sega
Bodega. Seth Troxler. Ski Mask. Skin on Skin bracket B2B Katama. Snow Strippers. Why are you stripping in the snow? Wouldn't that be like really anyway? So FTT. The Sacred Souls. Tin Liquor. Isn't that an insult that they used to trade in those old Orbit Gum commercials? Who you calling a cootie queen, you tin liquor?
It's actually lint liquor, which is even more disgusting when you think about it.
I don't want to think about it. Ugh.
Well, pickle you, kumquats.
That's the other one I was trying. See, I got into a conversation about that the other day. I was trying to remember all of them. That's the one I forgot. Anyway, Toro y Moi, True Vine bracket B2B Lake Hills. Vintage Culture, and last on the list is Young Lean. There's a name I haven't thought about in forever. But, I don't exactly know what the B2B means. I do know that some of these acts, like DJ Kozay and Heidi Lauden, are getting, like, four-hour sets.
Oh, boy.
We just have to wait until the next poster we get for this, which hopefully will have an actual fucking proper visual hierarchy. Seriously, fuck this. Fuck y'all. Hire better graphic designers. The old ways are standards for a reason, because they just fucking work.
Ugh. Also, organized. That's just get out everywhere.
This is your warning, every festival promoter. Make your lineups readable, legible, and understandable. If you don't do that, if you want to do this stupid artsy shit, we're going to ignore you.
Then you got to be artsy. At least be artsy and, you know, we're organized.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess the lineup itself, quality-wise, is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that about covers the news topics. Now we just have one last thing we actually got to clear through, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 21st, 2024. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from the band Alcest with Les Chants de l'Aurore. We have the newest album from Sumac with The Healer. From the story so far, there's their newest project, I Want to Disappear. From Your Old Droog, we have Movie. Interestingly enough, from a frequent John Carpenter collaborator Daniel Davies, a new album called Ghost of the Heart. And last but not least, there's a new project coming out from Kalani with Crash. And now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, sort of, this show, my other show, which I have to get to working on finishing up. Oh, it's been a long week, and all the main social stuff for random nonsense. Just, I gotta make a cup of coffee and get some food in me. I got a long night ahead of me.
All right, let's get through this quickly so we can get you to that. So, Mark, what about you?
Of course, mention me on whatever you can find me. You know, this show, this site, whatever, the Discord, blah, blah, blah. MightHyperOne.com, my site. And MSC's ending soon, meeting the end of the recap. And the most of us should be ending soon. Although I will say, if all the summer dub or casual number 8, well, you're fucked.
I understand why Kafka cries. Because we gotta wait longer, damn it! Anyway, for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com, for our written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump directly into our Discord so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on there. Thank you for listening. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual business and news. So, until next time, I swear to God, if Nintendo doesn't announce a Mario Souls-like tomorrow, I riot! By which I mean writing a very strongly worded letter to my uncle, who totally works at Nintendo.